You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Well, as we heard so well from the New Bills, our theme this year is to love the Lord our God. And so I want to encourage you that particularly over this month, this introductory month to the theme, that we begin with the end in mind. So what would you like your love for God to look like by the end of the year? How would you like it to have grown? In what ways would you like it to have developed? Where would you like your love for God to be by the end of 2026? And so through January, have we got slides? I can't see them on the screen. Okay, wonderful. So through January, we're going to be looking and breaking this concept of the Shema and loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength each Sunday. And so each week, maybe there'll be an aspect of that call to love that really speaks to you. And I'd like you to pray about that. Ask God in your prayers this month, Lord, show me how you want me to grow in my love for you. Because he definitely knows, right? The problem is we don't always know. So I think if we can go to him and ask him, he will definitely reveal that to us this month and throughout the year. And so with that in mind, let us pray, and then we'll look into the scriptures today. Father, we are grateful. We're so grateful that you first loved us. And our love to you is simply a response to your grace, a response to your kindness, your goodness, your blessings that you shower upon us every single day, even when we go through hard times. God, your love towards us never, ever fails. We pray, God, that this year we truly will get have a glimpse of how much you love us, the depth, the breadth, the height, so that, God, we can grow in how to love you more deeply than perhaps we've ever done before. We pray, God, that on that journey, we'll discover things about ourselves that you want us to put off. We'll discover things about you and Christ that you want us to put on so that we can love you more deeply. We pray today that you will soften our hearts to your word as we begin looking at the Shema. Lord, that we will open up our minds to new things and new revelations, Father, as you simply strive to draw us closer to you. Thank you for this year ahead. We look forward to the blessings that we will unbox each week as we dig into your word. We thank you, and it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. So just a reminder that, as you know, the Shema comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6. So I just want to encourage you, if you would like to, this month through January, study out the book of Deuteronomy with us collectively as a church, okay? There are other resources available as well. There's videos that you can look at. There are podcasts that you can listen to. There's articles that you can read on the book of Deuteronomy to be able to give you a little bit of a context as to where the Shema comes from, why it is where it is, and also how we can begin perhaps to look at it and look at Deuteronomy through a slightly different lens. So please feel free to scan that, and you click on the different the two options that are available once you on that. Okay, so as Newby reminded us and told us today, today's first sermon is on the Shema, which is from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And this instruction comes from God as he's giving it to Moses to give to the Israelites. And this is where it comes from. So in Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5, "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our God. Yahweh is one." This is from the Legacy Bible. "You shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." And so the context of this is that Moses is speaking to the next generation of Israelites. You see, the previous generation had died off in the wilderness because they were disobedient to God. As an act of unfaithfulness, they died off. And so we have this new generation that are about to enter into the promised land. And Moses doesn't want them to fail. So he gives this one long sermon, which is the entire book of Deuteronomy. That's a long sermon. And so he lays out for them, listen, do this, don't do this, focus on God. And he tells them the Ten Commandments again. But what's interesting is that he frames the Ten Commandments through a lens of love. He says, listen, love God. Love him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. Yes, you've got these commandments to follow, but do it from a place of love, not from duty, not of obligation, not of religious adherence, but simply from a place of love. We don't see, this is the first time we're seeing these words. And it is why when Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment? He says, he doesn't list any of the Ten Commandments, but he lists this in Deuteronomy 6. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, and your strength. Because if we get that right, then everything else will follow. Then the commandments will so more easily just take place, because we will want to live a life that is pleasing to God because he loves us and we love him. And so he's reminding them through this. He said, listen, God loves you so much. And he reminds them in Deuteronomy 6 of all the blessings that they've received from God, all that God has done, how he has rescued them already. And once they enter into the promised land, all the abundant of blessings that they will go on to receive. Didn't we learn a similar teaching in Ephesians 1 through 3? Remember the blessings of God, so that, chapters 4 to 6, you can then live a life of love in response to his love. It's the same message that God has always wanted his people to understand. It's the same message that he's called and given us today. And so the Shema is a prayer within Judaism that has become a daily prayer that many Jews will pray twice a day. And it reminds people of two things: that God alone, Yahweh alone, is our God. He is our one God, the one who is past priority over all things. And it's also a prayer that shapes people's devotion through obedience as an act of love. So it's a really powerful prayer, one that I want to encourage us to even to be praying personally, and I'll talk about that at the end this year in 2026. So let's have a look at where this word Shema even comes from. So the first line is this. Hear, or Shema, is where we see the word in Hebrew. Hear, O Israel. And so it starts with listen. God just says, listen to me. Pay attention. But that word Shema, which is hear in English, means so much more than just listen. When you say to your child, listen to me, are you wanting them just to hear your words? No. You're wanting them to what? Take it in. To act on what you were trying to tell them. And if they're like this, as you're trying to tell them something, you know they're not listening. You want them to focus and then act on what you're trying to say to them. That's what the word Shema means. It actually means listen and focus. Not just hear God's words, but listen intently and focus. It means to listen and then respond. We know that God never wants his word to return empty. He wants it to do something within us. Think about the parable of the soil. Sometimes we hear God's word and it just gets snatched away by the distractions of life. Or perhaps our own maturity is not really ready to put it into practice. But Jesus says the good soil is the soil that is able to take it in and then produce something with it. Where God's word is able to bear fruit within our lives and in the lives of other people. That's what this means, that we're able to hear God, but then also respond on his word. It means to listen and to do, and it means to obey. You see, in Hebrew, there's no word that's just listen only. It is always listen and do something with it. That's the call through the Shema, is that we allow God's word to mold us and to shape us. That's what he was wanting for God's people. So he says to them, not just hear, O Israel, but hear and obey God, because he is one. Love him, love him, love him through your obedience to him. This sounds quite familiar, doesn't it? Jesus spoke about this. You who say to me, Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say. James writes about this. Are you a person who looks in the mirror and forgets what you look like? No, so don't do that with the word of God. Read the word, allow it to penetrate your life in such a way that you put it into practice. The Israelites, they were given this message, and you hope that they would have got this, right? that, okay, Moses, we're good. We know we're going to listen to God's word and we're going to put it into practice. Yet what happened to the Israelites? Well, even just 800 years later, they get captured and they get taken into exile, into Babylonian exile. And look at this scripture in Ezekiel. This is very impacting. So, my people come to you as usual, sit before you, God, and hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. Although they express love with their mouths, their hearts pursue dishonest gain. Indeed, you are to them like a singer of love songs, with a beautiful voice who skillfully plays an instrument. They hear your words, but do not put them into practice. Wow, that's a convicting text. What he's saying here is, listen, sometimes God's people can listen to the Bible, listen to sermons, listen to their quiet times, and it just sounds beautiful and wonderful, but we don't do anything with it. It even says it's like listening to a love song. This is 2,800 years ago, and they were captured by love songs. He says, listen, you can listen to those songs and you could be caught up in the emotion and in the euphoria. It sounds amazing. He says, let that not be the case with the word of God. With the word of God, we should hear it. And yes, it may be fine sounding and it may do something to us, but let it do something to us by us putting it into practice. And if you think, how many times have we left this auditorium perhaps? And we've thought, that was a great sermon. Steve did a great job then. And then we've done nothing with it. It's just stayed in here. That's what he's talking about. That's what Moses is trying to get them to do. Hear by listening and responding, by doing what it says, by putting it into practice. That's what we should be doing with God's word. Now, what if the sermon is not as great as it should be? Maybe there's one thing that you can take away. Maybe it's the scripture itself that you can then go and reflect on. Okay, God, what do you want me to get from this? I think it just takes that level of heart to say, hey, Lord, show me what you want me to take from your word today. Our quiet times, is it, again, just to check a box, or is it for us to learn, okay, Lord, today, show me what I can, how I can put your word into practice. You know, that's why I created those journals, so that we can engage with the word of God on a much deeper, deeper level. I remember as a young Christian, seriously, everybody had a notebook. Everybody was making notes, listening to a sermon. Evolution had not taken place where we suddenly had a photographic memory. And I still don't think that's the case today. And yet somehow we sit there, we don't take notes, and we think it's going to have an impact on our lives. It doesn't. I'm not built that way. Maybe you are, and you've got some special gift. Maybe. But let me encourage you. Please take notes. Reflect on the word of God. Because there's no way you're going to remember everything. But I think this will be something, a good thing for us to get back as a community and as a church. The people come in and like, wow, they really take the word of God seriously. That's a great testimony to God, to the love of God that we have within our community. That is one of our good works, by the way, to put God's word into practice within our lives. It is one of the ways in which we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, by putting God's word into practice within our lives. Otherwise, we may just be these people here who listen to the word, it sounds great, paying attention, but once we leave, it stays here. Let that never be the case for us. Amen? Okay, the reason why we do this and the reason why we should be putting the word of God into practice is so that it moves the needle of Christ-likeness. That is the ultimate goal. What does Paul say in Galatians? He says, I'm in the pains of childbirth so that Christ is formed within you. That's painful. That means we don't just sit comfortably, but it means we do something different. It means we engage with the word of God, perhaps in a way that we've not done for a long time. Yes, we can easily, though, come to church for decades, give thousands of dollars, know the right doctrine, serve, do all the church stuff, and yet, are we truly maturing into the character of Christ? Are you more like Christ, me included, than a year ago today? That's the goal. The goal is that by the end of 2026, all of us should be more like Jesus than we are today. And what better way to be more like Jesus than to grow how to love God? I don't think there's a better way. And we need to be able to look back and see that the needle has moved through our devotion, through the Shema, through loving God. But we need to partner with God, with His Word. We need to partner with God through His Holy Spirit, allowing Him in to mold us and to shape us. So how is this done? Well, Moses didn't just say, hey, love God, good luck. But he actually gave them some really clear instruction. So this is what he said in Deuteronomy 6:6. Moses first said, the way that you will love God with all your heart, soul, and strength is by the word of God being on your hearts. Being on your hearts. Now we're going to learn more about how to love God with our heart next week as Steve comes up to preach. But for today, let me give you a few things for you to think about. How do we place God's word on our hearts? Well, here's a few points. Read it every day. Every day. What does Jesus say? We do not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. You don't eat for a day, even if you're fasting. How do you feel? Pretty weak. That's the same for us spiritually. If we go for extended periods of time without the word of God being on our hearts, we get weak spiritually. When you do read, pray. Pray before you open up the scriptures. Pray after you've read the text. When you go out on your prayer walk or once you've read the Bible and you are having your time of prayer, pray about what you have just read. Otherwise, we can just leave it there in the book, in the Bible, and it's not doing anything. Engage with the text, with God through prayer. Try reading it out loud. There's something amazing about reading a text out loud. Not only are your eyes reading it, but your brain is also reading it and hearing it. It's very powerful. Write about it. So maybe you have a study journal that you take your quiet time notes in. Maybe you have a study Bible where you're able to make notes. But don't just read the Word of God alone, but actually make notes about it. Because then you're doing something, you're using the Word of God. Put the Word of God where you can see it. Within the text in Deuteronomy 6, Moses says to them, write the words up on you in your house, on your doorposts. You know, this Christmas we went to Vegas to visit my family, and my stepmom has scriptures just all over the house. In the bathroom, you turn on the light switch, and then there's Jeremiah 29 right there. You go to open up the refrigerator, there's a scripture right there. It's awesome. I love that. So encouraging. What about just having a few key scriptures just around our house, just to remind us of God's goodness, His love for us? It's powerful. Do what it says. Talk about your quiet times, what you're learning from one another. That's what he's saying, and we'll talk more about that in a second. Okay, he then says, teach them diligently to your children. So, what is the them that he's saying we should be teaching to our children? Is it we should be teaching our children they have to come to church, they must be following God's teachings, they need to become a Christian, they need to get baptized, they need to have good behavior? All those things are good things. I'm not saying we shouldn't. However, what is Moses saying that they should teach them? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. You see, this is the verse that goes before teach your children. It's before. So the them, he's saying, just teach them to love God. We can so easily get caught up in the do's, can't we? And we see we're training our children in the Lord. Yes, training our children in the Lord means we train our children to love God. But we need to be loving Him deeply ourselves first, right? But we need to be helping our children to see God for who He really is and how much He loves them. One of the things when our kids were younger, we used to just share good news of miracles that God was doing in our lives so that they could see God for themselves. So that He wasn't just this rule book to follow, but that He was real and engaged in our lives as a family. So they can develop their own prayer life, develop their own personal relationship with Him. Even now, a couple of my kids walking with the Lord, when I speak to them about, you know, quiet times, I never say, have you had a quiet time? But I'll talk to them and say, hey, have you spent time with God today? Because I want it to be about a relationship rather than just an activity, a religious activity that they have to do. And if you're not sure how to help your children to grow in loving God, ask him. Pray. God, show me. How can I help my child to love you? Show me what I need to, who I need to be, so that I can be no stumbling block for them in them loving you. So how else do we get God's word on our hearts? Well, he also says, talk about them when you sit in your house. When you walk along the road, talk about God's word. Talk about how you are putting God's word into practice within your life. Let me ask you this. In the fellowship, after sermons, midweeks, what is it that you talk to each other about? Do you talk about, hey, what did you get from the message today? Not much. Me neither. Anyway, did you see the game yesterday? No. Hopefully that's never the case. But what genuinely do we talk about? Do we talk about how bad the weather is? Sometimes. Here he's saying, listen, talk about the word of God with one another. Hey, what did you get from the message today? I'm not sure. Hey, but what about this point? Oh yeah, that's a great thing. Let me focus on that this week. What about when you are at home? What do you talk about? It's so easy, isn't it, at home to talk about politics, the news, sports, school, more than God. Why should that be the case? You know, Mark Twain, his famous quote was, never discuss politics or religion in polite company. And I think we've taken that to then mean in all company. It's almost improper to talk about religion, faith, God, the Bible, even in our own religious circles at times. It's weird. It's weird to talk about God, to talk about our personal faith. It's private. That's what Moses is saying. Talk about it. This should be the number one thing that we share with one another. There are two brothers I don't usually name drop, but I'm going to today. Hanson and Grant. Whenever they come up and talk, they are sharing scriptures, they're sharing insights, share how they're doing, how they're wrestling with certain things. I always look forward to talking to them. Not that I don't look forward to talking to anyone else. But I always look forward to talking to them because it's always a spiritual conversation. Grant shares great insights and questions, and you can see his brain wrestling with different concepts. Hanson is great at really sharing what's going on in his heart and how there's conflict maybe with the word of God and how he's trying to put it into practice. They're the conversations that we need to be having with one another all the time. Bearing our hearts with one another. That's how we put God's word on our hearts. He's saying, listen, let God's word consume you. Consume you when you go to bed. Consume you when you wake up in the morning. It's the most important thing that we have. Way more important than your favorite sports team. Way more important than what's happening in the world of politics. The word of God. This is how we place it on our hearts. Now, we may think, well, 3,500 years ago, there was no TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, Netflix. So they had nothing else to talk about. Now, that might be true, but maybe they would talk about their sheep, or they would talk about this fancy cloth that was coming in from, you know, Asia somewhere. I don't know. But he's still saying, listen, make it a priority. I saw this great video. Put down your phone and embrace boredom. This is an awesome, awesome video. It's only about 5 minutes long. And this is Dr. Arthur Brooks, and he's a Harvard professor on management practice. And he says, listen, we are dumbing ourselves because we're not allowing and creating space within our minds and in our lives just to be bored. And to think. I remember being a kid being so bored. Do you remember that? Being bored as a kid? If we asked the younger generation, I think they would say, boredom, what's that? But I remember being so bored that I would have a watch raindrops falling down the window pane and I would make them have a race. Remember that? I'm not alone. And which one was gonna win? Oh no, quick! That's how bored I was. But I still remember that today. Doing that, just thinking about random things. He's saying, listen, we are losing something so valuable that God has given us, which is the ability to think deeply. We need to be deep thinkers as children of God, so that we can think about, right, how am I going to engage with God's word this week? How am I doing spiritually? What is the Holy Spirit trying to teach me? That doesn't happen if we're just scrolling. It doesn't happen if we're only consuming one way. God wants us there to be an output of thought, and it's powerful. One of the brothers shared with me that they've decided to stop turning on the radio whenever they drive, just so that they can think. You know, the more we do things like that, then the more natural it becomes, and we can embrace boredom as a good thing. Our brain doesn't need to be busy and be occupied all the time. The more you do it, the more you'll get good at it, the video talks about. And you will do some of your best thinking. And you know what? You will move the needle of Christ-likeness as you create space for the Spirit to teach you. So, as I close, let's have some takeaways. So many Jews will pray the Shema twice a day, and they cover their eyes when they pray this prayer. And I'd like to encourage you, this month, in the month of January, every day, pray the Shema. Lord, I love you with all of my heart, my soul, and my strength. And you could pray a second part that says, Lord, show me how to love you with my heart, my soul, and my strength. And cover your eyes as well. It's powerful when you do that, because you're putting aside all other distractions and you're making sure for that period, and you're reminding yourself that God is your only God. Secondly, if you would like to learn more about the Shema, I'm going to put up a QR code, but there's a video link that you can watch. There's an article that you can read, and then there's a great video from the chosen people on the Shema and how it links to Christianity and how it's still relevant for us today. So if you'd like to look at any of those, here's a QR code. You'll also find that on the website as well, if you'd like to access it. And you just click on each of the links, the icons, and it will lead you to each one of those. So what's our takeaway for today from the Shema? Well, it's simply to focus, to listen, to respond, and to obey to God's word. Invite God in. Create that space. Allow him to be able to show you how he wants you to grow in loving him this year. When you pray that prayer, he will definitely answer it, because it's one of those that is powerful and effective. So this year, let us be aware of God's love for us, but also let us grow in how we can deepen our love for him back. So right now I'm going to call up Nathaniel as he's going to share communion with us today. So what we're going to do this year is we're going to have a separate communion message as well, because we felt like we really wanted to give way more of a focus on the cross. So that's also a new thing for this year that we're introducing. So I'll hand you over to Nathaniel to share the communion at this time.
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. We're being called to love the Lord with every single part of our being. And part of how we express that love is through obedience, through repentance, and also through a real participation in what Christ has done for us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 and 17, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. When we take communion, we are participating in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We're participating in his sacrifice and also with his body, with his church. So when we take communion, we're saying two things at the same time. The first is that we belong to Christ, and the second is that we belong to his people. And that's why loving God and loving one another cannot be separated at all. Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 11 to give a very serious warning. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself, then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body of Christ eats and drinks judgment upon himself. He even says that this is why some were weak and sick, and many have even died. This tells us something very important about communion, that this isn't casual. This is a real participation in Christ. The word participation in the Greek is koinonia. It's the deepest form of fellowship and intimacy that you can have. And it says that we have that with Christ and also with his body. So before we take the bread and the cup, we should examine ourselves. So I want us just to ask ourselves a few questions just before I pray for the communion. Just ask yourself, why am I taking this? Do I genuinely love the Lord with my whole self? Am I truly participating in Christ and the body in this moment? Or am I just treating this as a religious act like the people in Ezekiel were? I believe that communion is the closest that we'll ever get to Christ on earth. So as we take this bread and the cup, let's do it reverently. So before I pray, I just want to read what Paul wrote about the Lord's Supper. For I receive from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now I'm going to pray for the communion. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy is the Lamb who was slain. We thank you, Lord, for your holy name, which you caused to tabernacle in our hearts, and for the knowledge and faith and immortality, which you made known to us through your servant, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your holy vine of David. To us, Lord, you gave spiritual food and drink and life eternal through your Son, Jesus Christ. Even as this broken bread was gathered together and became one, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory and the power forever and ever. In Jesus Christ, amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.